Okay, I think we're good. Welcome to Cameos on a Tuesday night. It is the same Cammy dudes at the same Cammy place, plus Foo. I need to add a thing on our stream for like plus one. He's in the background. He's our narrator for this evening. Foo, Samson, and Just Ramblin' joining myself. I am O'Shaughnessy. Thank you guys very much for coming in and hanging out again. We are here to cover everything that you may have missed over the past week in entertainment and media. We'll throw in some video game stuff in there too, as always, just to piss off Samson. And yeah, it's been fun. We got some good juicy tidbits at the 11th hour about the one and only People's Champion. So I know Foo's going to have a lot to say about that. It's one of his favorite subjects up there with fast food and wrestling. So, Samson, why don't you catch us up on everything else that we may have missed?
Sorry, I was trying to get my life together.
All right, I can barely hear you, too. Where you at?
All right, my bad.
There it is. I'm here.
So we'll start off with Foo's favorite topic, which is fast food.
Yeah, let's just knock out. We'll do the Foo's fast hour.
Fast food.
That's the kind of energy we're bringing tonight. I like that. All right.
But apparently, Wendy's is testing AI in some of their drive-thrus. So generative AI that responds to your comments, and here's what you want, and it'll get you your order right. I don't know. I don't like this. Why are you taking away jobs from people who make
less? Yeah, AI is coming for everybody's job, so mm-hmm. You should just all become plumbers.
Yeah, hey, I changed my flush valve the other day. I felt so accomplished.
What?
Yeah, I changed my flush valve in my toilet. This has nothing to do with anything. I just wanted to say that I did.
So you typed into like ChatGPT how to fix your toilet and ChatGPT told you?
Manually, like a human was designed to do.
You took a job away from a hardworking plumber. Yeah, I got it.
You know how much it would have cost to have the plumber come out and do that? The part is like $30. My wife and her mom got it and I just put it in.
And the plumber probably would have been over there on ChatGPT 2 doing the same thing. Like, all right, what do I have to do?
ChatGPT getting false information.
Yeah.
The TaskRabbit, they're going to charge you $70 an hour to
what?
Do that.
Well, now you know. That's a life skill. Yeah. That's some real homeowner shit. That's you just leveled up in real life.
Yeah. Right, everyone, man. Get off the internet and go own a home. Well, you have to get off the internet now because TikTok is banned in the U.S.
Oh, that sounds like a segue.
Yes.
Yeah, it's like, I wasn't insulting y'all if you don't know. I'm sorry. I just wanted to say
classism.
Yeah, it's fine.
But yeah, it looks like LS ByteDance sells TikTok within 9 months? Sorry, yeah, it can't be 30.
That was a year.
It's a year? I thought it was 9 months.
Yeah, I thought they had a while.
6 months, but I think they extended it to a year.
Oh, okay. All right, well, unless ByteDance sells TikTok, TikTok will be banned in the U.S. And I think TikTok is already banned in like India, right?
That's what we had said on here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. There's no way in hell ByteDance is going to sell that algorithm to anybody in the U.S.
Yeah, that's what they said.
it's never going to happen. And it's like, I wonder what the ramifications for this are going to be. Because it's like, okay, if we suddenly make this rule where foreign companies can operate an app on our soil, what's to stop four other nations from doing the exact same thing with, like, I don't know, Google or any other app that's used over there? Like, could it start some sort of like technological cold war where, like, you know, everyone is kind of like,
this sounds like some fucking what's the dude who wrote that Tom Cruise movie book, 1984?
Yeah, but it's like, it is censorship. So it's like, I wonder if companies will start retaliating in some sort of way. Like,
you George know, Orwell. Pretty, Orwellian yeah. thing. Yeah.
You just start saying like, oh, if the U.S. doesn't sell Google to a Chinese national, then we're going to cancel Google over here.
They don't have to do that because China just, like, no shame, stole that shit outright. Yeah. And there is just Google in China, and it's called, like, Google or some shit. Like, it's they are shameless with the way that they steal stuff. So
yeah, but it's like, aren't there?
I hear your point, though.
Aren't there apps that, like, other nations use that may not be our best friends in the entire geopolitical world? And then because of this, they might try. Foo might know more and probably keep trying this back.
Tons of apps. Basically, any gaming app that you have, all the free to play, all Chinese, partly.
You hear that?
Yep.
You hear that? Samsung?
But,
that's it. We're talking to you right now.
Yeah, I don't care.
Samsung owns all the gaming apps.
Yeah. I love China.
One quick thing I'll say is that just wait until AIs replace board of directors.
Yeah.
That's dangerous, right?
Is it going to be like an AI owned by like each tech conglomerate so that it has like their own interests like scripted into the algorithm? You know what I mean? Like a Google AI is going to bear more weight towards things that would like benefit the Google company. And then there'll be like an Apple one. You know what I mean? Or like some kind of perverted version of that. I think that's the way it is. That sounds like Metal Gear Solid. Yeah. Wasn't Metal Gear Solid just a bunch of computer programs that were pretending to be the lale lule lo? Yeah.
That sounds terrifyingly dystopian.
Yeah.
I'm curious what the ramifications of the whole TikTok ban is going to be, because like I don't think China, or if apparently ByteDance isn't owned by China, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. But I'm curious what the retaliation will be, because it's not only just on foreign shores, like within our own country. I think like 150 million users are on TikTok just within the U.S. alone. And they're not going to take very kindly to their favorite app and source of entertainment being yanked away from them.
Yeah.
For the reasons Congress wants to come up with.
You want to get young kids to vote? Take away TikTok. Show up in droves.
It's like astroturfing made easy. That's what TikTok is. It's like, ooh, you can just write, like, here's the bot activity. Like, go in, just do this and have a bunch of influencers promote, like, why, you know, oh, you know, you got to know that going in and, like, taking all the water supply from these third world countries, it's super important. You know, it's good for us, right? You know, these villagers, you know, they have water, you know, they could do this, you know, screw that. And then, like, it becomes popular in China because someone does a little dance to, like, you know, auto-tune. And then it's like, oh, great. You know, now these third world countries are in a drought.
Yeah.
Hillary about to come back with a dance talking about how we should Pokemon Go to the polls. funny you mentioned the political side, because a prominent politician, I think he's like representative for North Carolina, he got popular on TikTok, but then he voted to ban the app, and the entire app within an hour turned on this man to the point where he was never seen again on that app, and he just got dragged for it. So if this goes through, I can only imagine what the larger political ramification is going to be.
That's the problem with politics. You just vote with your
tick
party
voting. Tack toe.
Call it a day.
If you assume that people as a whole are stupid, you know, everything starts to make sense in life. So persons are smart. People as a group are stupid.
Yeah. Stupid combined with angry is scary.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of stupid combined with angry, I don't know.
Speaking of stupid.
Apparently they're trying to work, now that OJ has passed, they're like, all right, it's time to make an OJ movie. So it's a movie where it depicts OJ as innocent of the murder, which he is innocent of the murder, but it's like, what if he didn't do it?
Yeah, I was about to say innocent and actually did he do it or not? Two different
things. Right. So they want to make a movie about like, oh, OJ didn't do this murder, so here's what happened. And then they tried to get Owen Wilson to take the role.
Owen Wilson to take the role of what?
OJ Simpson.
Of OJ. Oh, wow.
The
glove doesn't fit. Wow. Oh, wow.
Of the attorney of the film. Owen Wilson was like, yeah, no.
Ka-chow.
There's no way I'm doing
it. Ka-chow. Ka-chow, ka-chow, ka-chow. Oh, man.
Yeah, but there's no way they are. There's no way
they did a Kardashian movie, which covered the, or was a short series or something, which covered,
yeah, but that's, you know, that covered the trial. This is, that covers the trial. This is like a dramatization of like the actual murder, like how it happened. It
didn't happen.
What if Chris
someone else did the thing.
So who would Owen Wilson play? I'm confused. Was that for real?
The attorney.
Yes, the Kardashian. Real. No, yeah. The Kardashian was, he's a black dude, right? So it was the.
No. What?
He's Armenian.
Oh, he's who Armenian. Am I thinking of?
He's black.
Oh, well then who would Owen Wilson play regardless?
You think about
a different
Cochran.
Attorney.
I am thinking of Johnny Cochran. You're right. I think Owen Wilson is Johnny Cochran. That's what I'm all thinking.
Right, I'm moving with this. You're already confused.
Owen Wilson in like RDJ blackface.
Everyone's confused and they don't need to make the film. It doesn't even make sense. Like, we don't need a what if so and so did this.
What if? Oh my God, like, the most ambitious crossover of all time. What if OJ didn't kill?
It starts with like the Watcher. Yeah.
Hey, this is just dumb at this point.
Ask all right, what's
also dumb is Apple's Apple Vision Pro. They are cutting production because the demand is lower than expected, but these things are $3,500.
I don't know why this continues to make the news. Like when this product came out, everybody was like, oh cool, this is like a cool piece of, you know, what's the word, enthusiast grade, like nobody's gonna buy this kind of thing, it's a proof of concept. And then I don't know, I guess Apple did it to themselves because they did make it a consumer product instead of just like a closed beta kind of thing, like what Google did with Google Glass, you know what I mean? Google did that and then it didn't pan out very good for them. But this Apple thing, I never thought of it as like a real product. Like, I guess Apple was just trying to make some money back on the R&D. So they were selling it for $3,500 to just recoup any of the losses. But I think the expectation here is that this is some beta version of a product that's going to come out in like 3 to 5 years that will actually be like a pair of glasses or something less fucking ridiculous. The battery pack that sits in your back pocket.
Something you could sell for like $300 to $500 where like
probably more than that, but yeah, not $3,500. I think most people were expecting this, if it were to be like a full consumer release, to be like somewhere in the range of $1,000 to $1,500. I think
I miss the early days of the internet when they had that, was it a Tumblr feed or something where it was like white guys with Google Glass? And it was like, I didn't even know how to like interpret that. It was like all of these like, well, you know, white collar professionals, like, and they're like, well, like we look so cool with these Google Glass, and they all look fucking stupid. Like Google Glass, the design was like awful.
It was a cool idea though. I mean, that's what I think about both of these products is like the concept behind them. I like it. It's just Google Glass was like, Google Glass would have taken off, except everybody was like, wait, what do you mean it's always recording? And then it was like, that was done. It was like, people weren't ready for that. But these days, I don't know, man. Like, Google Glass came out in a time before TikTok and Instagram reels and shorts, and everybody's always filming everything. So I think maybe people might be more, you know, used to it of just like, yeah, I'm being recorded wherever I go, no matter what I do. So fuck it.
They just need to come up with a better and more fashionable design. Like if they just partner with Ray-Bans, they could bait a bunch of influencers on TikTok to use them. And then suddenly it's going to sell like hotcakes.
Yeah. Well, they have like simple versions of it now where it's like a little thing, but it's nothing like a full AR experience. But yeah, 3 to 5 years, we'll see where it's at.
Yeah, these look like something a gun enthusiast would wear.
What the Ray-Ban ones?
I forgot the name of the brand, but it's like the one you see on like every right winger's Twitter profile pic. Like,
oh, the glasses?
The Oakleys. Those are
Oakleys.
What I'm talking about.
That's what they look like. I used to have a pair of Oakleys, not gonna lie.
Oakleys are great.
Congrats on owning an AR-15.
I don't have a segue. Internet service providers are now banned again or prohibited from blocking, throttling, or engaging in paid prioritization of lawful content. So the FCC has restored net neutrality. But I don't remember what net neutrality means anymore. It seems like they changed the definition.
Yeah.
When that weird face guy rolled it back.
A G-Pie, the guy with the giant Reese's mug. That dude was the literal CEO of Verizon, came over to be the government regulator on.
And then roll back net neutrality, change the definition, and then put it back again.
Yeah, I think it goes both ways. So, like, net neutrality is the idea that all internet traffic gets created equal, which sounds good, right? So, basically, it gives all these little guys a chance, you know what I mean? In a world of like Netflixes and Facebooks and all these other monopolies that exist, like ISPs can't prioritize like certain traffic over another. So it's not like if you go to Facebook and then you go to some random ass website, they are guaranteed to be as fast as each other, but that's not the way it works. ISPs have deals with some of these larger companies because it benefits both of them. So I see both sides of it. Because without net neutrality, you get like companies that like Netflix or Facebook or Google or YouTube who are like trying to be the top dog. And there's like a real incentive to get there. And then they can be the best in class. And if everything is created equal, it's really hard to find the diamond in the rough. You know what I mean? Because everything, if all the cream rises to the top, there's no, it's all the same. So it's hard. I think ultimately it's probably a good thing considering the internet is kind of a hellscape right now, but
none of this is hard. Just make internet a utility and call it a day, a regulated utility, because it should be
a government. Dude, you want the government to oversee the internet?
No, just regulate in the same way that like electricity, water, and gas.
I don't know about that. This is the thing. This is the argument. It's like, look, I'm not saying Comcast and Verizon are like the good guys, but I don't know that I want the fucking Biden or Trump to be like, this is what the internet should look like. Like, think which of those is worse? Because honestly, I don't know.
The second one sounds like China.
Cameo yes. is sponsored by Exelon.
Tubi. I want Tubi to run my internet.
No, that's not how like government regulation of your utilities work. Right, it's not like they just tell utilities what to do. They just watch what they are doing.
The internet is more than just a utility. It's not like electricity on off. It's like literally the forum of freedom of speech. You know what I mean? Like there's so many caveats.
It doesn't stop that. It's like remember in Texas when they had a snowstorm? It was like a blizzard, right?
Yeah.
As soon as that happened, people's electricity jumped, and it was like $5,000, because their demand changed. But it's because their utilities weren't regulated, right? So they could just do things like that. That's what the type of thing it would stop. It just makes
regulation
internet readily available.
Yeah. Right,
yes.
So
I'm not talking about control. I'm talking about regulation.
We just found our main strictly topic regulation. For the night. Listen, what if... So on Reddit, there's a shit ton of shitty subreddits where things are discussed. You're telling me that if the government was like, oh, yeah, that Reddit site, that's where the 9/11 attacks were planned. Shut it down.
They can do that now.
The ISPs have to get on board with that. The U.S. government is the one shutting it down.
They nationalized whatever corporation it is, and then they just do it.
I mean, once they go public, that always happens. Like, all of a sudden, they say, okay, let's clean up the porn.
Well,
let's
get rid of all the weird
people. Because now we have to keep it open and we have to have a lot more eyes on us.
Right. But that's that business's decision to do those things. And look, I know I sound like I'm arguing in favor of the ISPs, but I'm just saying, I don't think that a government body regulating what the internet looks like.
Since 2001.
You're talking about control. You're not talking about regulation. That's not the same thing.
How would it not? Right. How would one not lead to the other?
No one controls your power right now. They just turn your lights off when you don't want it to be turned off. So that's not the same thing.
You saw that Civil War movie. You saw what they did.
All right, I'm going to move on. Since we're talking about the internet, apparently YouTube's experimenting with ads that like come on while your videos pause.
Yeah.
Which is, that's weird.
If that happens on YouTube Premium, that's done. That's done.
Y'all know that, like, advertisers can see whether you're looking at your phone or not, right? Like, they have, like, a metric that tells you that.
Yeah, I can tell because... Yeah, I'll take a shower and turn a video on, and then as soon as I'm in the shower, it just be like five ads just start popping up. Like, yo, come on, man! Now I can't touch the phone because my hands are wet. I can't skip this. They know. I hate it. Yeah. It's weird.
Yeah, as soon as it's gonna be like, if you're not looking at the screen, the ad will pause.
Who wants fish?
And
come here, girls.
Yeah,
no. Food. I thought you were. That's a food
is
ad.
Food not talking to us? I thought that was a YouTube ad.
I did too.
Sorry. I'm feeding the girls fish.
He's talking to his dogs.
Okay.
That was weird. But what's also weird is Don Hertzfeldt and Ari Aster are working on a film. They're working on a film, which will likely be a horror film because Ari Aster is like a horror guy. Don Hertzfeldt is a animator, so I imagine it's going to be some like weird animation horror film that comes out. And it says the article says it's a big expensive project that they've been working on for 15 years. This is a Cinema Express article, so you can check it out.
15 years.
Yeah, that's like Avatar time.
Yeah,
it better be good.
Well, if you just copy Pocahontas, of course it's going to be good. Anywho,
Fern Gully, sir. It was Fern Gully.
They copied Fern Gully. I don't know if this one is true, and I didn't have like the bandwidth to go check, but apparently Aaron Sorkin is writing a movie about January 6th. I don't know though. Like I was trying to vet it, and I was like, it was taking too long to like find stuff.
Aaron Sorkin loves his political dramas. Like, he wrote The West Wing. He wrote, what's the name? Newsroom. Like, this is completely up his alley. I believe it.
That's why I imagine this is, it could be like, they're baiting us.
I mean, hold on, let me see. January 6th. I mean, no, a bunch of stuff is popping up.
There was a documentary in 2022.
I don't trust it.
Cameos is being political today.
It's not our fault that everyone wants to write a political like discourse.
Oh, right. Quasi sequel. The Social Network.
I can see it. This is right up his alley. He's also a fantastic writer. Like, his dialogue is incredible.
We'll see. Something else we'll see if it will actually happen is so apparently they're working on another Men in Black reboot at Sony. I don't know why. No one even watched the last one.
Wasn't that a Hemsworth and what's her name?
Tessa Thompson.
It was supposed to be a crossover with 22 Jump Street, but they were
That's another one. So after Men in Black International, they were supposed to do what Foo's talking about, which is the crossover. They didn't do that. I'm just drained. There's too many like remakes and like reboots of things. Like, yo, just stop it.
If they're gonna bring it back, they have to bring back the original cast.
Yeah,
that's the only way.
How old is Tommy Lee Jones though?
Tommy Lee Jones like 80, man. Like,
I was about to say, dude, he was
bored. Put on the indie hat again and was doing, I can't say stunts because there was a lot of cuts during all the action scenes, but he was trying.
Harrison Ford is 81 years old. Tommy Lee Jones is only 77. So
I'm 3 years off, man. No, enough is
enough. And Robert De Niro still having kids. He's 80.
Oh yeah, that man is wild.
So I think I have a lot of hope. I feel my vigor is good for some years to come.
What was the last movie Tommy Lee Jones was in?
That's a great question.
I don't know. Captain America, the first
Avenger. No Country for Old Men.
Filmed a commercial for Life Alert.
The Tommy Lee Jones insults. While you look at that,
oh wow, 2023, he was in something called The Burial.
Oh, okay. With
Jamie Foxx. What?
Oh, you know, watch that movie.
You know what he could do? He could play the role that what's his name? Remember Rip Thorn, the guy who played the head of the MIB?
He's dead, right?
Yes, yeah, I believe so. Tommy Lee Jones could play that role, like have him run the MIB.
All right, that's fine. So K turns into Zed, and then
Jay goes out and recruits some new up and coming copy of himself when he was young, who can potentially lead the franchise in the future. I could see it happening.
What was the plot of the...
Have the alien, the evil alien in this movie, have it be played by Chris Rock.
Wait, hold on. You just described the plot of Men in Black 1. This is the same issue that Star Wars had.
It comes full circle.
This is Star Wars Episode 7, is what you just...
You've become Warner Brothers.
We turn into what we hate.
Yeah, I never said it was a good idea. I just said it was an idea.
We are doing the rewrites now. We are the executives doing the rewrites.
No, this is what AI will pump out when AI just starts writing films. Film over and over again.
But that's the thing. It's like you're going to need the original cast to draw up any sort of interest in a Men in Black film, because we saw what happened when you brought in new blood. Nobody went to go see it like that. So Will Smith is the only name, along with Tommy Lee Jones, who really draw people back at this point.
They're making, you know, Bad Boys for Life, for whatever it's called. So Will Smith is ready to bring back the classics. Just
put the noisy cricket in his hand, let him do a remix of Men in Black music video. Like, he's ready.
That's on fire. It is. I love that song. Good. That's the best part of the movie. That's an amazing song.
For real. But yeah, I can see it. I'm not saying it's like the best idea, but I can see it happening. I feel like that's the only way you could really do it.
What you can't do is use Nintendo's IPs to make games on Steam. Nintendo has issued a widespread takedown notice. So anything Nintendo related that's on Steam is getting snatched away.
I'm surprised that people are surprised by this. Nintendo wouldn't even let people host Smash tournaments. And
Extra protective.
Yeah,
they're ridiculous when it comes to their IP. That's why everyone was saying, like, oh, they're going to get sued. Power World's going to get sued for stealing from Nintendo. And I'm like, if they would have stolen anything from Nintendo, Power World's development team would have had, like, lawyers from Nintendo rappel into their offices.
Like SWAT.
the first time the trailer hit the internet.
That is a good point. Nintendo has always been ruthless with this like campaign against their fans, who are basically just trying to keep these games alive that are not able to be purchased any other way. Like, these games that are being run by emulation are by and large games that Nintendo just doesn't have a way for you to buy anymore. So
Nintendo's like, no, you age out of the content, so stop playing.
They age out of the content, apparently. Like, make a fucking storefront that, like, has shit where I can buy it. I don't know.
I don't blame Nintendo. They're just adhering to Japanese law.
PlayStation doesn't do this shit. Sony is not, like, this litigious with
their Sony stuff. America. Sony, they don't govern Sony America. They just let Sony America do what they want to do. And then Sony Japan is too busy fighting with Nintendo.
There you go.
They hate each other.
That's it. Civil War Japan.
That's the plot. This is a great movie.
Sony,
come on, man. AI generator. All right, Blizzard. Blizzard is canceling BlizzCon for 2024.
Yeah.
But of course they are. Like, who? What is there? WoW? Is that even?
There's a new WoW expansion this year. Where's our moderator? Our mod should be in here telling folks.
Oh, that's about everything that Blizzard's doing. All I got is a Warcraft Rumble.
People have games.
So Diablo's got some expansion, and Overwatch 2 is a joke. Like, that is like the most disliked game on Steam of all time. And yeah, they fucked up the Warcraft remake. They tried to remake those old Warcraft games and they shit the bed on that.
Yes, it's dead. Get out of here.
I think,
and also and the shitter.
I feel like Microsoft, Phil Spencer's probably like, let's get our shit together before we come back. So I have hope that next year will be good, but they got a lot of ground to make up
probably for.
Honestly. Yeah, I feel like they bombed out with every one of their major properties.
Warcraft has been kind of fizzling out for a while now. It used to be like a steady, like one expansion was good, one wasn't so popular, one was really good, one wasn't so popular, but like the last like three or four have kind of just been stinkers. And Diablo has a game that comes out once every 15 years, and Diablo 4 is only in its like third or fourth season, and people hate that shit. And Diablo Immortal has people spending $100,000 to get the like max level gear. Warcraft Rumble still doesn't have guilds. Need I say more?
Warcraft Rumble does have guilds.
It has guilds. Oh, right. It doesn't. It doesn't have. It doesn't have raids. It doesn't have the raids.
Marvel Snap doesn't have guilds.
It doesn't have raids. That's what I meant. You know what I mean.
Stop insulting my favorite game. All right. And also, sorry, to answer a question in the chat from Smooth Carlito, if Men in Black 2 does have a song, it's not good. So that, his question was, does Men in Black 2 have a song? I don't know. I don't think it does.
Here but it ain't, comes whatever. Men in Black.
Actually, no, it does. It's not. It's not it. It's not like, it's not, no, nah, it's not it. It does have a song. It's not good. Song's terrible.
It wasn't Will Smith's song if there was a song.
No, it was.
It was like a Will Smith song?
Yeah, it's a Will Smith song. It's just not. It's not the first song.
Wild, so it don't matter. Wild, Wild West.
Some, I guess, for some Disney news, we got like a trailer for Mufasa the Lion King.
Why is it being made?
I don't know, man. I don't know. But it comes out December 20th.
Oh no.
Apparently and I don't know how like true this is, cuz again it is true. Blue Ivy Carter is in the film.
Oh yeah.
So and like yeah, good for her, you know, she, you know, eat off your parents' name and get out there and start your acting career. Baby. Yeah, she gonna, that I appreciate that. But I just don't know why. Oh, Beyonce in the film too. I just don't know why they are making this. Like,
I think it's because The Lion King made $1 billion at the box office, even though everyone roasted the shit out of it. So it might be another situation where everyone talks a lot of shit about it on Twitter, but then eventually goes to the theater to see it because
it did. The live action one did?
I'm pretty sure it made $1 billion. If not that, then Aladdin definitely did.
Yeah, Lion King made over $1 billion.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. All right, man. So of course,
$1.663 billion.
That's ridiculous.
That is ridiculous. But you know what? Wasn't this the one that came right off the heels of the Jungle Book, which was actually a good remake because it was Jon Favreau and it actually was like a good retelling. Oh wait, Jon Favreau did this one too. Never mind.
Jungle Book made $966 million. The Lion King,
$1 billion. Pray money over it.
Jungle, I know, right? Jungle Book was fire, though. That Jungle Book remake was legit.
They just need to stop. Like, they need to stop with these ultra realistic animals. Like, they need to do what Pokemon, what Detective Pikachu did, and just have them look a little more animated than that terrifying ass lobster crab shit on Little Mermaid.
Yeah. Or just give me a little cartoon, man. I don't mind a little cartoon.
Yeah, it's like these animals can't emote. And emotion is the most important part of animation.
It'll stop when like some kid walks up to like a, you know, some dangerous animal like, I thought you were Lion King. Ah, don't eat my face.
And it's Harambe all over again. The cycle continues.
Oh well, that's a good segue, I guess, because Wesley Snipes is apparently going to return as Blade in the Multiverse Saga.
Can you break that down for me? What's the connection?
So the cycle continues.
Oh, come on,
man. It's deep.
That's all the worst.
Yes.
Jesus Christ. Deep. If I said that, I would never be able to come on cameos again. That would have been it. Never come on camera again.
It's deep. But also, since we're talking about this Marvel stuff, just some projects that are in development right now. Agatha, whatever the rest of the name is, because they keep changing it.
Yeah,
Covet of post-production.
Covet of Darkness.
We got the Wakanda shows. The Wakanda show, Eyes of Wakanda. X-Men 97 Season 2, What If Season 3. And I actually don't know what this stands for. YFNSM? I don't know what that is.
YF.
Your Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man.
Yeah, I was about to say, yes. I know that.
That cartoon. I forgot about that. Yes.
That cartoon. Rapper.
Yeah, he's in jail with that fellow with the rainbow hair, I think.
Yeah. Those are all in post-production. Daredevil Born Again is in post-production. Captain America Brave New World is in post-production. They're also doing reshoots next month, actually, between May and August in... for that film. Thunderbolts is filming now. Fantastic Four starts filming in August. Wow, man, this is a long list. Blade starts filming in the summer of this year. Spider-Man 4 starts filming in September of this year. Vision Quest starts filming in October of this year. Apparently Daredevil Season 2 is supposed to start filming in November of this year. Armor War starts filming January next year. Avengers 5 also January next year is when it starts filming. Shang-Chi 2 starts filming in March of next year. Young Avengers is supposed to start in 2025 filming. But we'll see what happens with that. Avengers 6 is slated to start in 2025 for filming. X-Men, the live action film, starts filming in late 2025. Doctor Strange 3, Midnight Suns, X-Men 97 Season 3. That should still be Season... Yeah, Season 3. This in pre-production. And then Moon Knight Season 2 is supposed to be in the works. Sorry, Sean, I'll ask your question. It was a lot.
What was the source for that?
A Marvel Spoilers Reddit thread. And if it came from Reddit, it is most definitely...
If it came from Reddit, it must be true.
I mean, it does align with a lot of the other reports out there.
Daniel RPK posted it. You know what they do, right? They go onto like the trade union websites and they like identify what's in what stage, like depending on what's hiring, who's working where, et cetera. Like the IATSE, things like that.
Yeah. Because they have to get that lined up.
Use the unions against them.
Yeah, that'll show them.
Welcome to Cameos. We are political and union busters, apparently.
Yeah. I want my internet run like China and my unions busted.
It's like, where's President Taft?
From that entire lineup, it still sounds like there's no sort of cohesion narratively for the cinematic universe. Like,
yeah.
I have no idea where anything's going, except that Fantastic Four is going to be a thing, and then somehow they're going to branch everything between that and Avengers. Like, I don't know. Only thing that makes sense is like Doctor Strange, Moon Knight, Midnight Suns, and Blade. But beyond that, I have no idea how any of this connects.
I feel like some of those projects are still so far out where they could be lining things up to get them done. But like, if production doesn't even start for another year,
yeah,
it's like it's just a bullet on a chalkboard,
and you know, they're moving most of like the bulk of production out of the country.
Yeah, I
so
saw
Atlanta's
that.
Still like big, but you know, sorry, yeah. to cop on your segue, Samsung.
I stopped caring where they were filming, but yes,
yeah, Europe. No, because it does matter, because they're worried about like all the COVID stoppages and then the union strikes and stuff like that. They're like, screw this, like my multiverse is gonna get right. And Feige is apparently leaving after 2026, which is why everything's so jam packed. He wants to get Avengers 5 out with a bang and do good numbers, you know, before he leaves.
Allegedly, where's he going?
I don't know. His contract ends then, so people are saying like he's leaving. gonna go
there's
work
a lot of UK
with Safran.
James Gunn is hiring.
There's a lot of UK and Mexico filming.
But if he goes to DC and works for Warner Brothers, oh my god, Marvel is dead.
yeah, that'd be awesome. That's it. Also, Marvel might be dead after this X-Men news. It looks like a Pandaverse type of scenario where
I think this is a false report.
Yeah, like, I do too.
It's just, like, it's just to anger people.
Yeah, that's why I didn't want to say it. I was like, I couldn't vet this well enough.
No, it's false.
Let's leave it alone. I want to believe.
I want to hear the fake news. Give me the fake news.
The fake news is like Marvel Studios wants a writer who can like balance comedy and drama, a focus on female characters, and then they want to introduce new characters. Ones that haven't been in live action before, you know, alongside the characters we know and hate, because Cyclops is an asshole.
Give me the Mondo Montendo verse.
I want a whole Montendo show. I want the background. I want the follow up.
You're probably right. I don't believe this is true. But if it were true, like if you want to do a female focus or a woman focus, then Storm needs to be a leader to X-Men because she is in the comics at some or various points. She is in the comics. There's also a whole team of X-Men that's just a woman's team, which is very good, a very good comic run. Well, I think it was good. So,
I mean, if you really look at it, like I could see that because even though the X-Men are diverse in gender, the most powerful characters are all women. Like Jean Grey, Storm, Psylocke, Rogue, they're all the heavy hitters.
Hey, those aren't Omega. You only named two Omegas, man.
Yeah, I know, but all the Omegas aren't on the X-Men.
Zorn?
Yeah, that's true, but the strongest members of the X-Men are all women. So I can
what
see
about that X-Men?
X-Men. Nate Gray.
Are they going to change it from X-Men to X-People?
X-Folk. Oh,
X-Them.
X-Folk.
X-Them.
That's cancelable.
Yep, we're done. That's it. All five of our viewers are outraged.
Oh, well, actually, speaking of cancelable, wait, Fu, you about to say something?
No, I said people of X.
I thought with all the discourse around that name that was occurring around 2020, I thought they'd be called like Children of the Atom or some shit.
I mean, there's a comic run that's Children of the Atom. Yeah. Maybe that's why the comic run is Children of the Atom.
Yeah.
So, because of that.
They're trying to keep it as gender neutral as possible.
It's hilarious. Oh, and yes, to answer Smooth Carlito's question, Iceman is an Omega level mutant. Most of the elemental mutants are Omega level.
Yeah, Bobby's an Omega level asshole.
He's a member of the LGBTQ community, and he will not be addressed as such because we would like to
wait. Have
sponsorships.
Version or his adult version?
His adult version. He's a dick.
I thought his child version was LGBTQ.
No.
I thought he was into Kitty Pride. Is he LGBTQ because Kitty Pride is now a non-binary? Is that what we're talking about?
Sorry. Bobby Drake, Iceman, did not come out of the closet on his own. The editor wanted to add a new LGBTQ character to the X-Men, so he had it where Jean Grey just looked into his brain and said, "Oh, Bobby, did you know you were gay?" And he was like, "Really?"
Yes.
I remember reading that comic what that writer did.
But no, it's the younger version of Bobby came to the future and then was like with his older self who's like dating Kitty Pryde or Polaris at the time.
They're on the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Right. And then that's when like Gene looks into his mind like, "Oh yeah, you're gay." He's like, "Word." So now Bobby's gay. Which I don't care. Like my whole issue is like there are plenty of gay X-Men and gay characters. I don't know why like
my headcanon is
Family Guy clip and was like, "We're doing this."
Yeah.
Okay. Y'all saw right. That one?
They dragged this man out of the closet. That's hilarious.
Yeah, like
he came out on ice skates and he was like, "Hey."
That's cancelable. So speaking of cancelable, apparently The Rock is terrible to work with. There's like reports saying like he's costing the Red One film shoot, he's costing it like $50 million because he keeps showing up late every day.
This is weird, though. Like, so there are two different stories. So that makes me feel
the
like
the second one, I don't know. The second one, I don't know.
But like, based on his first one alone, he didn't he get into a Vin Diesel because Vin Diesel was showing up 8 hours late himself, and that's why they like fought, was because Vin Diesel was being unprofessional. I thought that's why they had a beef.
I thought they. I don't know about that. That fast, however many beef you have to ask Fu about Diesel the fast.
Vin Diesel taking all the muscle baby oil.
Yeah,
well,
that's what I thought too. And I thought like both of their contracts have like a clause where they can't get beat up but so much, so you can't both be the hero.
There's an algorithm for the punches they take. I'm not
The algorithm. The algorithm started to conflict, and now like they are in conflict with each other. I don't know, but apparently the other story to this is like on the film Red Notice. They're saying that The Rock got into it with who's that? Ryan Reynolds for the same reason. But I don't know how like that's not like that. I think someone was just trolling.
No, that's all part of the article.
I don't see it in this article. I see the Red Notice portion. Oh, actually, no. Yeah, you're right. You're right. I do see it in this article. But Netflix responded like, we were thrilled to work with The Rock on Red
Notice. Oh, shit. So apparently the beef that started between The Rock and Vin Diesel was because The Rock kept showing up late for filming, not the other way around. So this kind of corroborates that story.
Yeah, The Rock just has a history of just showing up late because he's a Brahma bull and you're a jabroni. So as soon as you say, hey, Rock, you're late, just know your role and shut your mouth. Or he'll stick his foot into your booty.
We need the Undertaker to come choke slam him.
That's the only way to get him a couple of times. Or to have his cousin give him a spear that he's going to...
With the spear!
Over a cell because he's a showman. Also, apparently, Rock pees in bottles at the same time. But this is all in the...
What is he doing? Like he's taking 8 hours to get there, and then he's like showing up with some like Arizona iced tea bottles. Like shit. I'm running late.
He's wild.
Article also mentioned that production dates on Red One were postponed twice due to Johnson's commitments to the Young Rock series, the XFL's relaunch, and the extensive Black Adam press tour, which he hoped would position him as a major player in the DC Comics / Warner Bros. Universe. Parentheses: it did not.
It's an important parenthesis. Yeah, I don't know, man. How do you go from the people's champ and everybody's like, I want him to be president? Like, fuck it. If we're going to have celebrities as president, make it be The Rock. And now it's just like, dude, the rise and fall of Dwayne The Rock Johnson. What the hell?
How can he be president if he has to do gym time for 3 hours a day? I feel like the president doesn't have like the time for that.
He's saving time by peeing in bottles. Yeah.
I guess
he's going to have meetings with France like during the gym. It's like you just see like him coming in and out of screen as he's doing like reps.
I would be president if his whole campaign was like a full blown wrestling arc with him as the baby face and whoever else is the heel. And election night culminates with like a big WrestleMania event where he has to make his opponent tap the fuck out. It's the only way I'm accepting it.
If I was running against The Rock, I would like hire Stone Cold to just be like my campaign manager. Just like have him out front and just talking shit the entire time.
Just jumping out of dumpsters and hitting them with chairs on the campaign trail.
Yep. Samson, what's going on?
We've got some breaking news, I guess. I had to check and make sure this had actually happened. But Paramount's CEO, Bob Bakish, is departing
Paramount. Oh, yeah.
Paramount Global.
Yeah, we know that. Yeah,
we saw that one.
Yeah, happened Monday. So, like, sorry, there's another article where like there's talks that he could be out, but no, he is out. So on Monday, it was reported that
y'all know about what's going on with Paramount, right? Like Redstone Group, which is like some financial firm, like owns like a large stake. And what's going on? So there's like constant infighting between the rest of the shareholders, and like what Redstone wants to do and stuff. So I'm not sure what's going on with Skydance. Is there like a merger going on or
no? Skydance.
What companies suck?
Skydance is trying to purchase Redstone's controlling stake, and I don't feel like reading like what the deal is for, or like it's like a some two-step deal.
Oh, I know. Trying to buy the stake. You're going to get screwed. That's what's going to happen.
Listen, as long as we get Paramount or Avatar Studios, I don't care. No, consumers.
Oh, I thought you said boomers. I was like, man, I got Paramount. My son's into Paw Patrol, man. There's only one place to watch it. There's only one place to watch it. Paw Patrol and Little Bear. Paramount Plus, baby.
Just leave Avatar Studios alone. I don't care about nothing else.
Yeah.
Leave Avatar Studios alone. All right. A couple more things, and then we can get into our main topic. This is just funny to me. This is a Hollywood Reporter article. Apparently, movie directors reveal that like the first thing they do now. Yeah, the first thing they do is look at Rotten Tomatoes when a role is pitched. Sorry, I said this wrong. Producers look at director scores on Rotten Tomatoes when they are looking for directors to work on films.
Yeah.
Sorry. So it's not the directors looking, it's the producers looking at the scores the directors past films have been given.
There's probably like a direct correlation to like the average score on a Rotten Tomatoes movie and how much money it makes.
Yeah, and that's all they care about.
Calculation you can do.
Inverse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We gave Rotten Tomatoes that power because
yeah,
now it's like, oh, I'm not going to see it unless it's over 70%.
Yeah.
It's life. Also, what's the other power we gave is to Netflix to keep doing live action remakes of shit. They're doing the live action Scooby-Doo series.
No. Is it Mindy Kaling? Or, at least?
Oh, God, no.
First of all, I watch Velma.
Did you finish
set up for season 3? Yes, no. It is very bad. It is so stupid.
No.
They set up for season 3. Like, it's just, I don't like it. So I'm like tainted because of that. So to see that they're working on a Scooby-Doo live action, I don't want it unless they get Freddie Prinze Jr. in the original cast.
Bring back Matthew Lillard and Shaggy.
Yeah, right? It's a shame because that movie was like a cultural thing that happened.
I loved it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and have Outkast do the soundtrack.
Wait, Outkast did the soundtrack?
Did it for the second one. And the
man, oh, I gotta go run that drums, back.
That was Outkast.
I gotta go run that back.
Yeah.
There's an independent article from the publication Independent about how Jerry Seinfeld is wrong about left wingers ruining comedy. I don't like Jerry Seinfeld's stand up, and I didn't watch Seinfeld because I'm black. I watch Martin, so I don't really care much about. I'm black and I'm not Wale, so I don't really care much about Jerry Seinfeld and his views on comedy. But it seems interesting. I don't know that I agree in general, but whatever. And then
that's why he's complaining. Isn't he like one of the cleanest comics?
Yeah.
He doesn't even curse.
Yeah, but I do think like he's probably like a purist. I do think like as comedians, you should be given freedom to say things. And if people don't like it, just don't watch the special. Right? That's the point. Right.
Yeah, I would agree, but it's like social norms change all the time. Like,
yeah,
you know, back when we were kids, the R word was just a noun we used casually.
Yeah,
but now it's not acceptable anymore, mm-hmm. depending on what Discord server you're in. So, but it's just these are just some things you got to accept. And complaining about it makes no sense. It's just you'll find a different way to tell the joke. You don't have to be extremely racy just to be funny. There are plenty of comedians who step within the boundaries of social norms who are still absolutely hilarious.
Mm-hmm. It's harder, though. I mean,
it is harder.
That's part of what's funny is like saying the unexpected. And a lot of times the unexpected is the shit that you can't say. But
I think
I don't. The problem, I agree. I haven't found Jerry Seinfeld funny
Ever.
Yeah, that was more.
I think the problem is that it's more so just social media, right? And like people have their phones and they pull their cameras out because how do you know something is like funny or not funny unless you go test out your material, which is what comics used to do, right? They go test out material. It doesn't work. All right, I got to change this up. You can't do that anymore because as soon as you say it, it's been recorded. Now everyone knows. Also, new comedians don't really write in the way that they used to. It's kind of just social media comedy stars these days. So their skits are, you didn't write any of this. It's just done and it's funny. But like this, just the whole landscape has changed. So
I think it's whatever. All for the course. Like,
yeah, things change.
Yeah, it's just funny. It makes me funny.
Yeah, basically. Get creative. Yeah. I think that's the crux of everything, right? Because our
comedians like Bill Burr, who is naturally aggressive towards everything, can still be funny and not be canceled. Yeah. I think everybody else can figure out a way.
Yeah. But I think that's like a good segue into our main story. So there's two more stories as well. Because Jerry Seinfeld was also talking about just the movie business. And how, like, I don't care what Jerry Seinfeld is saying. the Russo brothers, sorry, Jerry Seinfeld and the Russo brothers were talking about just the film industry. The Russo brothers specifically talking about just superhero fatigue. But I guess our main topic is how we think about that in regard to DC and everything James Gunn is doing, because we've seen the slate of all the things that James Gunn and whoever that other guy is, everything that they got coming out on the DC landscape next year, right? And how, like, is there really fatigue when it comes to this type of content, or are we just like, we're excited for all of the, oh, you want me to read it?
What did they say?
I don't care about them.
Well, no, how are you going to set this up if you don't even say what they said?
The audience has to know.
I just want to talk about DC Comics, man.
Listen, we don't care about Jerry Seinfeld because his film expertise begins and ends at the B movie. Shout out Barry B. Benson.
And also shout out Unfrosted because that comes out Friday.
Okay.
Yeah, but his commentary, I think, was partially because of that movie that came out. Was his just like dissatisfaction with like the whole process of it? So I think that these sort of are
complaining.
They are part of the same discussion because the Russo brothers.
No. Ironically, he's complaining like a leftist, like a little liberal. Let's
like
talk about that.
Little snowflake. All right, tell us what the Russo brothers said, and then we can take it.
The Russo brothers are talking about just the general the problem with films now is the generational divide, and then there is no superhero fatigue. There's just generational divide in how media is consumed is different. Like, kids now want everything right away, right? And we didn't grow up like that, so we are used to waiting. But I don't know, like, if I agree. And again, the Russo brothers haven't made anything or haven't directed anything great since Endgame. They just produce things that are fantastic.
Right. Like, so this sounds a lot to me like people that are just kind of falling out of the limelight, saying things that are hyperbolic to stay in the conversation. So the Russo brothers said, and I think it was a good point, but I agree with you. It's like they haven't come out with anything in a while. Maybe put out some more bangers before you start philosophizing on what makes movies good. Because Endgame was like 5 years ago, so let's catch up.
And what, B movie was 15?
B movie, Jerry Seinfeld classic. Larry David wished he had signed on to that.
The way we consume, the way that things are created is vastly different than it was 15 years ago. The way we consume things is different. but also
just, it's a good point because like good. It's, like you can point, go but... you can open your phone and scroll through 600 TikToks before you go to bed. Like the way that we're used to consuming media is like you turn on the TV at a certain time, you get your friends together, you go see a movie at a certain date and time. Like that's just kind of like in our brains, you know what I mean? Like is that's just like the way, like that's an event, like that's, it feels good, it gives you like member berries, you know, to like do that kind of stuff every time we go and see a movie. It's like it feels like the way it's supposed to be, but that's not the way that this new generation has grown up. They're like, what the fuck, like I gotta get my mom to drive me down to the goddamn movie theater so I can meet up with some friends, and then you know what I mean, I'm missing out on Fortnite and all the other nonsense these kids are doing.
I think they're both right and wrong. I think they're wrong in that superhero fatigue is being caused by the way media is consumed. I think people are just sick and tired of mediocre films. Like, that's what brought down the MCU and the DCEU. It's not because people are obsessed with TikTok or Vine or Twitter. I mean, yeah, Vine was around back when the MCU was at its height, and people still went out in flocks to the theaters. So that makes no sense. But I will say, though, that now in order for films to be massive, there needs to be a big social media push behind it. Because now when you have people who can very easily just sit behind their screens at home and watch major blockbusters instead of going out and paying for parking, paying for concessions, doing that whole thing, what you need to do now is like what Barbenheimer did, where it made it feel like a can't-miss event that brought this sense of community and this sort of like concert-like atmosphere where everyone was like rallying together and dressing up and getting excited to go out, or else it's just going to be another film that people go, oh, maybe I'll go see it, but it's not really must-see. I could just go check it out when it drops on Netflix, Paramount Plus, or whatever.
Because you want to be a part of the discussion. Like, people want to be a part of the event, the phenomena.
Yeah. Exactly. It has to be a phenomenon in order for it to crack a billion these days, because like Super Mario Movie and Barbie were the only ones that broke a billion. Whereas like a few years ago, like there were several Marvel films that would break a billion. There'd be a Warner Brothers film that same year that broke a billion. But it's like now, like people are one, like they're not easy. They're not eager to dish out their money for something that might be lackluster. So you really need to incentivize them with like the big Barbenheimer campaigns, or like the big social media discussions, or the TikTok excitement. And I don't think it's just the way content is consumed. I think it's the way advertising operates these days. That's what needs to really drive.
But now we have a phenomenon coming with the James Gunn DC Universe.
Is it though, or is it just a rebrand? Because it feels like it's just a rebrand.
It's a true phenomenon. It's like an event, right? The first set of things is titled Gods and Monsters.
Yeah.
Right. So that's a phenomenon, right? That's what you're looking for. It kicks off with Superman, who's the god amongst the men of the DC universe. Mm-hmm. Right. We get shows. We get Booster Gold is in there, right? We get Swamp Thing, we get Creature Commandos, we get the Amanda Waller, the Waller series. Yeah, it's called Waller. I don't know why I couldn't think of it, what it was called. We get Paradise Lost, so we get another god aspect.
Do we know how the production's going on any of that stuff they're working on? Because I feel
Superman is the only thing in production as we speak.
Yeah. Isn't that a 2025 movie?
Yeah, because Superman is first. Superman is first on the slate.
Creature Commandos is first.
I thought Superman was first.
No, Creature Commandos is coming out before Superman.
So Creature Commandos is ready then.
Yeah, it should be.
It's probably in post-production.
But Superman is a major event because even though DCEU did its best to try and fuck that character's name up, Superman is still the like greatest of all time archetype superhero from which all the superheroes are born. So like there's going to be a lot of excitement behind that. But with that same, on that same token, like the stakes are astronomically high, because if that film does not get anything higher than an 85% of Rotten Tomatoes, you can kiss the rest of the DCU goodbye.
Yeah.
Like it's
I liked Man of Steel. I don't know why this guy. Why?
I enjoyed it too, because it was like it was cool for the time. It was novel, I don't remember if I saw that in theaters or not, but I remember enjoying it for what it was.
I only like the fact that it was the first time Superman felt as strong as he does in the comics. Like, he felt like an actual god tearing through cities and buildings and stuff.
Yeah,
like
that. What was the Superman before that? Spacey was the bad guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't even remember who Superman was.
Piano. I was like, this is terrible.
Yeah.
Absolute garbage.
Well, that's a good point. That's a good point about the advertising being a huge part of it. Less so about the way that media is consumed and more about like having it have to be something that you take part of.
Yeah.
I'm curious.
Like every film that's cracked a billion has had like a big meme campaign.
Do you need to crack a billion? If it costs $200 million to make your film, you need at least... What's profit considered for a big budget production?
2.5 times.
Right, so 2.5 times 200K or 200 million is what? At least...
500.
Quickly. Yeah, so at least 500 million.
All right, so movies that have made $1 billion...
No, we don't need, it doesn't need to be a full billion to be a success.
I think the standard has been set at a billion because of films like the Transformers franchise and the MCU and Barbie. Hold on,
Barbie and Oppenheimer, don't count those. Which single Transformer film made $1 billion?
I think with Revenge of the Fallen.
That movie was terrible. It made $1 billion.
I don't see it on this list.
No, it was Age of Extinction and Dark of the Moon. So two films.
Ain't no way. Yeah. Right, hold on. Go ahead, Sean. Read your list. There's no way. That movie sucks.
Started from the top.
It's even worse.
Avatar 2009 made almost $3 billion. 2.9 billion. Avengers Endgame, 2.7 billion. Avatar The Way of Water, 2.3 billion. That's crazy. Yeah. I can't believe that movie made so much money. It was so average.
So ignore like just superhero films specifically. Right, because we're talking about the DC.
Oh, okay. So Avengers Endgame 2.7.
Right.
Are we counting Star Wars?
Not if you don't want food to have an aneurysm.
Avengers Infinity War 2 billion.
Right.
No Way Home 1.9 billion. Jurassic World. What the fuck? The Lion King.
What?
like that's the thing. Like a billion.
The Lion King. These are things that are upwards of 1.5. So The Lion King and Jurassic World both broke 1.5 billion. Then Avengers, the original at 1.5. Furious 7, 1.5. Top Gun Maverick, 1.5.
Furious 7 is a superhero film?
I guess. I mean, it might as well.
Didn't Vin Diesel headbutt a car jumping off of
movies
robotic chair
here.
About to say ain't no good Transformers film.
Like I feel like a billion has become the big blockbuster benchmark.
Oh, together.
Even back in 2003, the Lord of the Rings, The Return of the King, that made 1.1 billion. And that was
a fantastic
30
film.
Years ago. Or 20 years ago.
I don't think it's fair to for the DCU specifically, right? If this is a fresh start where you got a bunch of Snyderverse fans like already boycotting, even though they didn't watch Rebel Moon 1 or 2. Right. So it's not fair to expect the DCU under James Gunn to start off hitting a billion out the gate. Like Superman.
If Transformers Legacy Dark of the Moon can do it.
What?
Yeah.
I told you.
1.1 bill.
That movie sucks.
Oh, and then another one. Age of Extinction, 1.1.
That movie sucks, too.
But it's even worse. That's what I mean. It's like that's the benchmark for
He's got a point. I'm looking through this list, and there's Aladdin. There's Pirates of the Caribbean 5 or whatever the last fucking one they made. That made a billion.
Yeah, but we also have COVID now, right? People also don't go to theaters like they used to in general.
Yeah, but they came up
dirty and expensive.
For Super Mario Brothers.
Yeah, Super Mario Brothers is high up on the list.
All right, well, Barbie was because they thought it was a kid's movie, and same with Super Mario Brothers because it was a kid's movie.
Jurassic World Dominion 2022 made $1 billion.
That movie sucks.
Let me rephrase my point. the reason why I feel like Superman not has to, but should make more than $1 billion is because Superman is the most recognizable superhero in fiction. His emblem alone is so recognizable. It's up there with the Coca-Cola logo and Nike. So it's like to have your biggest, most premier superhero not make more money than like Captain Marvel did. It's a weird look.
Counterpoint. Saying,
what's up?
Counterpoint. I'm going back through this list. Not a single one of these movies is a DC movie.
That's a problem.
This would be the first DC movie to break $1 billion.
Exactly. I feel like that would give so much power
to it. Oh, shit. I lied. Aquaman was the only one on this list. I just found it. Aquaman made 1.1.
If the fish man makes $1 billion,
that's the only
Superman
one.
Has to make $1 billion.
That's the only one. Minus Dark Knight and Joker, but I don't know if we count those.
Dark Knight's fantastic.
Yeah, but that's I don't even consider that DCEU. That's a Christopher Nolan movie. And Joker is its own.
I think it would inspire a shit ton of faith from fans in the DCU going forward. If the first film is a Superman film and that cracks $1 billion at the box office and it's widely beloved.
I agree with Smooth Carlito, Dark Knight should count.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it counts, but it's just it's another example of how the benchmark.
I guess I'm considering the like Snyderverse, like the run of Batfleck and Henry Cavill Superman. None of those movies made $1 billion.
That's because they were all terrible. I knew the DCEU was on the way down when a film that featured the first ever debut of the DC Trinity, that being Superman, Batman, and Wonder Woman, made less money than Black Panther and Captain Marvel.
How much did what was that Batman v Superman where they all Batman were on?
I think it made like 850 million.
$872 million.
Yeah. And it made less than two characters the Zeitgeist had no idea existed before the MCU even came along.
Justice League made $200 million less than that. Everybody saw Batman v Superman and they were like, Nah, I'm good.
Nah, this ain't it.
I'm good.
It's not it, man.
But it's like, think about that. That film with the three most famous superheroes in fiction made less than Captain Marvel. And that's not to discredit Captain Marvel. It's just you have the three most prominent heroes nowhere near.
Not even close. Who wants to guess what Black Adam
is? Hold on. We don't. That movie sucks.
We're talking about all, the Rock peeing in bottles.
The three most prominent heroes are Batman, Superman, and Spider-Man. Do not throw Wonder Woman in there like she's important.
I think she's not highly recognizable.
He's saying the Trinity, though. That's the Trinity.
Yeah, more recognizable than... No, he
not
just
recognize,
said...
No. Like the big team-up. Like the Avengers.
Yeah,
it's like
the Trinity together.
Okay, I thought you just meant comic book characters.
You want to talk all time, you could talk Spider-Man, Hulk, Wolverine, those characters into like the most recognizable superheroes. But it's like the Trinity, like... That's the big three, and they couldn't even compete with Black Panther, who, once again, no disrespect to Black Panther, great film, great character and everything, but if I went to you in like 2008 and said 10 years from now these two films are going to go head to head and Black Panther is going to make more than Superman, Wonder Woman, and Batman all together, you would look at me like I was crazy.
Yeah, 100%. Because that was like at that point Marvel was riding like the fucking Feige coke train and everybody was just like snorting lines and making $1 billion movies. Like there was just no failing at that point, but they're not pumping out stuff like that at Marvel these days. I mean, it was a unique time. It would just be interesting if it like the script flipped and we all of a sudden had DC pulling that stuff and then we get, some Agatha show nobody asked for Marvel.
How dare you? I can't wait for that Agatha show.
That's why I do think a grand slam.
I think it will, but I don't think a grand slam has to be over $1 billion, right? To me, 2.5% higher, right, is profit, right? If you make $500 million, that's a steal. That's a good day, right? That's enough to justify a follow up film. And then if the follow-up film like starts to net more and more, like it could be a slow build to me, right? It doesn't have to be $1 billion out the gate.
Here's the thing, though, like, to Ramblin's earlier point, to like,
he was just rambling, man.
To be rambling off his Ramblin's. In order to remain a part of the, I don't know what the word for it is, the zeitgeist, the communication around like keeping these things in people's front and center view, that $1 billion makes a really good social media campaign. Like, you just stick that in front of a Twitter headline, like, this movie's making $1 billion. You know what I mean? Like, that's the kind of thing that makes headlines and then furthers the conversation towards making more of these movies like that. Like, yeah, but it's the advertising. It's like, look, this movie made $1 billion. It must be good. And it's like, you can't argue with the money, foo. Back me up here. You're the money man. You're the numbers guy. Like, you can't argue with the data. Like, if the data says
I want the stories that I want. I want to watch stupid ass Marvel and DC movies.
I want the Bob the Builder verse. I don't care how much money it costs me. Damn it.
Who just wants to sit in the chair that moves and watch Fast?
Give me Fast 7 on repeat like 3 times.
That's all he cares about. Give it another $1 billion.
And it's like, I do understand where you're coming from, Sam, where it's like, it's a success if it makes like 500 million, 600 million, whatever. But it doesn't just have to be a success. It has to launch an entire cinematic universe that just crashed because of Zack Snyder's slow-mo bullshit.
Yeah.
All right, well, why not a success with stellar reviews? Right, so it gets a 99 on, or a certified fresh on Rotten Tomatoes, and it was highly profitable. So it made like 600 million, right? How's that? That's right. And if that happens for Superman, then the next, if that happens for Superman, and then the way they schedule it, I think it's, I think it's one film and two shows, or two films, two shows every year for the rollout for the Gods and Monsters thing.
I forgot. I mean,
oh yeah, yeah, no, it no, it's be. It's two movies and two HBO Max shows per year.
Yeah,
right. So, it's a good Superman James. Comes out, certified fresh, at least 600 million. Right, then whatever movies after that comes out, because I forgot what is next on the slot for those movies, but another certified fresh film, another highly profitable film, and then both HBO Max shows do as well. So Creature Commandos is one. Creature Commandos does fantastic well. It does like Peacemaker type numbers and Certified Fresh and whatever other show comes out. It does the same thing, and it all ties together, right? So now you have a cohesive universe. Everything's quality, right? And they all made at least 2.5% more than it costs to make them. To me, that should indicate, all right, we should keep doing this because now we have quality. And plus, over there, Marvel, all they got is Deadpool. That's all they could do. And that's the only thing that was good.
They got Hugh right. Jackman. That's it.
They got Deadpool and they got X-Men 97. They don't have nothing else. And yeah. They're just going to give us another season of What If where it doesn't make sense.
They like, might. Yeah, I don't know. The strategy might change because, like, I think there's a lot of risk where there once was not. It used to be a very safe bet to make these superhero movies, and it's no more.
I hear where you're coming from, but like that would be ideal. But I think that the DC brand has burnt up a lot of goodwill among the audience, and it needs to come out swinging, like a grand slam kind of swing, to build everyone's hype again. It's like you can't crash and burn and then kind of just get your wings off the ground, or even like fly a little. Like, you gotta get to a point where it's like people are excited for Superman, they're excited to see what the next step is. Mm-hmm. They gotta, like, I agree with that. I'm gonna know it succeeded when I see thirst traps of the new Superman on TikTok. Like, that's what needs, like, it's funny, but it's like, I'm serious. Like, that's how I know a film is gonna soar at the box office.
Yeah.
When you see everyone everywhere, all the kids talking about it. That's another thing. It's like, you need to get in a generation that's perfectly content to look at their phones at dance trends and, you know, very simple, easily digestible media to get them up to the theater again. And I remember Fu was bringing up that article about how Gen Z just doesn't care about the MCU because it's like the dad rock of film now.
Yeah.
So Like, it has to be like a knockout punch. And that's why I'm like, your way is absolutely, it could work. But I feel like it, in order for it to really soar, pun intended, Superman, like, it needs to have that big billion-dollar brand on top of it saying, hey, the first one out of the park was a grand slam. Wait till you see, you can't even imagine what's coming next.
Mm-hmm. I think that's the way that they are thinking. And by they, I mean the executives and the producers, because they're not looking at, like, you know, the long sustainable vision of this. They're looking at, like, quarterly profits, and they're like, all right, yeah, this is James Gunn, this is Superman, this is the reboot. And they have somebody in there hyping it up in the boardroom saying, like, all right, this is the thing, this is how we're going to do it, this is the marketing, and here's how much money we're going to make, let's go. You know, I don't think they're right, like, all right, look at this, like, slow process. We have this built out over years and years. That's not the way that, like, they work. They look at profits in quarters. They don't look at profits over the course of, like, 10 years. They're like, make us the most money in the least amount of time possible.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, if you put out these film, the two films, two shows, and you profited and it received stellar reviews, that means you have a success and there's no reason to stop the whole DCU reboot, because you made profit, right? You made at least 2.5% more than it costed you to put this thing out.
But that's not the kind of logic and pragmatic thinking that gets people excited and gets people to invest like $300 million.
Why are you running a company if you're stupid? Like, it doesn't make sense.
Warner Brothers. Let's remember that.
Period. Pause. Wait a minute.
You just made a profit, a substantial profit. Like, this is great for shareholders. And you like, nah, this is not enough. We need at least $1 billion. What? You're dumb.
Well, once again, this is Warner Brothers. We're not dealing with corporate geniuses behind the helm.
I don't think there are corporate geniuses.
That's so dumb.
I think that is an oxymoron. All right. We've been rambling. Let's close it in. I think we all have our views on what we're hoping for and what we expect to see. But we got another, what is it, year and a half to figure out? Mm-hmm. When is it, the end of 2025 that we're getting Superman?
No. It's like summer.
Okay. Is it one of them summer blockbusters?
July 11, 2025.
Okay. So about a year. We'll see how that pans out. We'll definitely be going to see that in theaters when it is when it is available. But between now and then, What else are we watching? I just finished Shogun. Real good.
Oh yeah, definitely. I need to finish that.
Yeah. I want to talk about that with y'all at some point. I don't want to say anything until y'all watch it, but I would like to talk about Shogun at some point.
Oh.
Asian Game of Thrones, as people are calling it.
It's not Game of Thrones.
Spoiler alert. I don't know why. But that's the Twitter campaign. So yeah.
That's dumb. X-Men 97 comes out, or the finale begins tomorrow, actually. If you are like a fan and want to prep for the season finale episodes, you gotta watch, and this is from the showrunner, you gotta watch season 4 episodes 1 and 2 of, this is of the original X-Men cartoon. So season 4 episodes 1 and 2, watch season 4 episode 6 and 7, season 5 episode 12, and then season 1 episode 13. That's how you prep yourself for X-Men 97 startup of the finale, which begins at episode 8.
Because
like a 3-part thing. I forgot to mention there's a trailer for Clipped. It's an FX show that's coming out. FX puts out fantastic shows. Clipped is about what's that guy's name who's like owner of the Clippers? What's his name? Yeah, doing a series about Robert Sterling. So I'll be watching that along with Unfrosted that comes out Friday.
Even though we don't care about Jerry Seinfeld.
I don't care about like his comedy, but I do care about this film because I like the whole like, let's show you how this product that you love.
History of the Cheeto, the Flamin' Hot Cheeto, how yeah. it was made.
That was a great film. Yeah. Tetris was great. So I'm looking forward to this. Yeah. I love this type of like genre. I love that they're doing this now.
All right. We lost Fu apparently. So
Fu's just going to tell you to watch Fast 7 again to run up the numbers.
In 4D.
Justin, yeah. What you watching?
Dead Boy Detectives. It's an adaptation.
Oh, right.
Sam's got thoughts on that one too.
Yeah, it's an adaptation of a Neil Gaiman series. It's in the Sandman universe, and it's a, from what I've seen, great supernatural film with a few awesome cameos from a show. Excuse me. Some great cameos from the what's the name? The Sandman. Yeah, I highly recommend it if you want to go check it out. It's a great watch. I'm actually really
like it. Way to do it. I could tell it was made by Warner Brothers and not Netflix. That's how
I heard that. I can agree with that.
Because like I'm enjoying it, but it's also like it's a little corny in spots. Like,
yeah, it's interesting how you can tell which studio made what. Yeah, I know what you mean.
But I enjoy the content. Like it's great content, but I feel like it could if they had let I think Warner Brothers sold it to Netflix as part of their like grand let's tank this
tax evasion. That's
why they need $1 billion.
That's where the $1 billion is going.
Yeah. But I expected it to be corny because the comic book is kind of corny. It's like supernatural undead Hardy Boys. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's very much within the realm of comic accuracy. So if you can tolerate that sort of thing, understand it's going to be a little cheese here and there. But
That's not even what I mean by like the corny. It's like it's just the way they do it. You know what I mean? I don't know how to explain it. It's just I can tell like it's like I'm watching Doom Patrol, which I like, but also like
I got you.
You know what I'm saying? Like
we should have a review when we all watch it.
Yeah. Oh, and sorry to Smooth Carlito, to answer your question, I don't know if they're cable episodes. I know one of the X-Men original series episodes is about like Sinister. Of course, like the season one episode 13 is Sinister. Is some Senator Kelly episodes in there also. And a couple Magneto episodes. I don't know if it's like cable episodes. So.
It'll be interesting to see how X-Men plays out. So that 3-part finale is starting tomorrow. That'll be wrapped up in 3 weeks. And then, I don't know, we got a little bit of a drought until The Bear and The Boys start back up.
Mm-hmm.
And then
The Boys start in May.
Okay. All right. So not too bad.
Sorry. It's June.
Oh, June, all right. June 13th. Well, there you go. Yeah. All right. Well, that's going to do it for me and the rest of the Cammy crew. But thank you guys very much for coming and chilling this evening. If you listen.
Well, actually, Maya, go ahead. We'll just say this for next week.
Okay. Tune in next week for whatever Samsung was about to say. All right.
Yeah,
thank you guys for hanging out. It's been real.
Yeah, peace.
Peace.
Peace.